Welcome to the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church, where the senior pastor is the Reverend Dr. Charles B. Jackson, Sr. Brooklyn has two locations, one church. For more information about all the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, please visit us on the web at brooklynbaptist.org. That's BrooklynBaptist.org. As we prepare for the word today, please reference number 120819. 120819, God Unspeakable Gifts, coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 through 15. We now join the services of the Brooklyn Baptist Church, already in progress. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
Let me say it again. Some folk feel good when they are giving. Some folk feel good when they are giving. Because there's another group of folk out there. For there are others who always want to be on the receiving end. Their hands are always out. Little or nothing do they give, but much and often do they expect to receive. And I don't know about your experiences, but I have learned that when you give to such persons, whatever you give is never enough. And should you decide to stop giving, you got the devil on your hands. You say to yourself, enough is enough. You have used me. You've taken advantage of me and my kindness. You have yet to get up and do anything for yourself. You won't keep a job. You won't budget and manage your income. You won't discipline and dedicate your efforts and your energies towards something worthwhile. I've already given you my best. You receive so little and nothing in return. I'm through. Be careful when you tell somebody I'm through. If they are receivers and not givers, receivers will get angry with you. They quickly forget all of what you've done and make a big deal over your decision not to prop them and cripple them and carry them anymore. Some people don't care when you're always giving and they're always receiving. You set up an, I'm trying to help somebody here. You set up an expectation. Hear me, young people here. And when the expectation is disappointed, they'll turn on you. Have you ever had anybody to turn on you because you said no more? Enough is enough. It makes no difference how much you may have given in the past. Most folk practice the principle, what have you done for me lately? So we have givers and receivers. Well, the Christian story is about giving and receiving. God gave the greatest gift that has ever been given. God gave his only son. God gave his only son. KJV, King James Version says, God gave his only begotten son. There in the manger was God's gift to the world, wrapped, not a beautiful and colorful decorative wrapping paper with a pretty sky blue ribbon tied about it, but wrapped in swaddling clothes. God's son wrapped in bands of cloth. God's son, one writer says, wrapped in rags with the awful stench of an odor from the cattle in the manger where he lay. God's son, God's gift. There in the manger, lying as a helpless baby, was God incarnate. God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. God gave his son as the gift of salvation because he saw man walking in darkness. Isaiah 9 and 2 says, God's gift would belong to the people who walk in darkness. And that's exactly what we do without Jesus. Without Jesus, we walk in darkness.
That's right.
The darkness of selfishness.
Yeah.
The darkness of distress. The darkness of despondency. The darkness of disenchantment. The darkness of depression. The darkness of despair. The darkness of low and no self-esteem. The darkness of a life without meaning or purpose. Without Jesus, we walk in darkness. For all who walk in darkness or have ever had to walk in darkness, God gave a gift. His son, the light of the world, to dispel darkness so we can walk in the light. Beautiful light shining from heaven so bright. God's gift. Note, my beloved, as sad as it were, God gave the unspeakable gift, but not everyone received this gift. God gave this gift of love, and some people turned their backs. Some people rejected this gift and went on their God-forsaken way. For instance, Herod the king would not receive this gift. He was distressed and became furious. And when the Magi came from the east to his court in Jerusalem and asked, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews?" Herod was deeply troubled. Herod knew that if he was to receive this gift, he would have to give up his power. He would have to recognize that there was one greater than he, an authority that's higher than his authority, one who owned the cattle upon the thousand hills. He would have to admit his limits and look to another who would have all power in his hands. King Herod would not receive this gift. Pray for us here now. The nameless, faceless innkeeper would not receive the unspeakable gift. He was too busy. From all over the countryside, from every village and town, crowds of people had traveled to Bethlehem to be registered. The innkeeper, hotel administrator, had the demanding, high-stressed job of providing accommodations for as many of them as possible. He was busy trying to keep the middle-class folks satisfied. He was busy catering to social status and symbols, scurrying about trying to be sure that those of position and power and prominence were pleased and happy. Those of affluence and influence were all fed and comfortable. So when the poor carpenter by the name of Joseph and his pregnant wife Mary appeared on his doorsteps looking for a place to spend the night, he told them that there's no room in the inn. May I say something today? Be careful how you treat folk. Let me state that just a minute. Be careful how you treat folk. Some folk don't treat others with respect if they're not in the same supposedly class that they are in. Some folk look down upon and degrade and condemn those who may not have had the opportunity to earn a college degree as they earn. They don't associate with some folk and don't speak to certain folk whom they decide are not in there on their level. But there's a warning here. Be careful how you treat folk. Don't look down on other folk. Don't discount and discredit other folk. Don't snob or push aside or cast away other folk. For the Bible says in Hebrews 13:2 that you might be entertaining angels unaware. The truth is, some folk you look over, you need to look at. Some folk you shun from, you need to turn to. You've heard me say it, for some folk that you talk about, you need to talk to them. Some folk you criticize, you need to patronize. The innkeeper would not receive this unspeakable gift. And there were others who would not receive the gift of God's son, Jesus Christ. John 1:11 says, "And he came to his own." Here we are. "And his own received him not." Look at the text. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, refers to Jesus as God's unspeakable gift. The New International Version says, "God's indescribable gift." The New Living Translation says,
a gift too wonderful for words. Yeah. The Message Bible says, a gift that no language can praise enough. God's unspeakable gift. So here we are today, some 2,000 years removed from Paul's declaration, and many have yet to receive Jesus. The unspeakable, indescribable, too wonderful for words, one whom we cannot praise enough, your Savior, my Savior, Jesus the Christ, many have yet to receive him as Lord and Savior. It's good to have a college degree and have matriculated in some of the best educational institutions we have, but you can't figure out an alternate route to heaven. You got to go through Jesus. Are y'all praying here now? The Lord told me to tell you that you need Jesus. For the closing of our worship services on December 31st at 7 p.m., I'm encouraged to preach from the sermon topic, All I Need is a Name. That's what I'm going to talk about. All I Need is a Name. But before I tell you about his name, I got to spend a couple of Sundays preparing us for that word. God would have me to press upon you today that you need Jesus. Let me say it again. We need Jesus. Let me say it again. We need Jesus. It's good to belong to the church, but the church cannot save you. It's good to have a close family and dependable friends, but they sure can't deliver you. It's good to have investments and money in your bank, your savings, but money can't buy your salvation. You need Jesus. It's good to have fine homes, fully loaded luxury automobiles, and wear the latest styles and fashions, but what doth it profit a man to gain this whole world and in the process lose his soul? So the Lord told me to remind you as we go into 2020 that we need Jesus. That's all I'm trying to say. You need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need more Jesus. God's unspeakable gift. Now, when you receive God's unspeakable gift, you will know the ultimate expression of his love. Nowhere is the love of God shown in such a pure, perfect, prevailing, powerful, precious, profound, and priceless quality and quantity as in Jesus Christ. The love of God he has demonstrated in his unspeakable gift is higher than the heavens, deeper than the ocean, longer than long, wider than wide, lovelier than the sunsets, sweeter than the honeycomb, fresher than the morning dew. God's unspeakable gift. Indescribable gift, Jesus Christ. It's love personified, love edified, love dignified, love magnified, love glorified. In him is love for the lowest, the least, the last, the looked over, the locked out, and the left behind. Nothing compares to the love of God in Jesus Christ. Somebody asked Jesus, how much do you love me? You've heard it before, have you not? And Jesus stretched out his arms and died for me. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Paul says he's an unspeakable gift. We need him today. The elders used to say, if ever there was a time, we need the Lord. Then you say, we sure do. They didn't say sure. We sure do need him now. We need Jesus. Then secondly, God's unspeakable gift is an expression of God's undeserved favor. Watch this. Man, we know that we need this gift because it expresses the love that God has for us. Well, man is a frail creature of the dust. Man has flaws, faults, fallacies, failures, frustrations, even foolishness. And the truth is, we should have been trying to get to God. We had done God wrong. We should have been trying our best to get to him. Reverend Jackson Jr. used to say to our grandson Trey, when he's playing basketball at Blythewood High School, mess up, make up. Over and over and over. Mess up, make up. Commit a turnover, come back down the floor and hit a three. Watch this out. Mess up, make up. Mess up, mess up. We messed up. And we should have made up. We should have been going to him. But thanks be unto God, instead, he came to us. He came to us, God's undeserved favor. In other words, he looked beyond our faults and he saw our needs and he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Then third and finally, God's unspeakable gift is salvation for our souls. This unspeakable gift expresses the ultimate of God's love for us. This unspeakable gift represents God's undeserved favor. But this unspeakable gift is also salvation for our souls. Let me put this aside here. Without Jesus, we are a hopeless end. Without Jesus, we're marching to a drumbeat that leads to eternal damnation, torment in hell. Without Jesus, we have no real source of power that helps us to navigate through the adversarial circumstances of life that try to do, as the Bible says, to steal and kill and destroy us. Without Jesus, when we are groping and stumbling in the darkness, we have no light to shine on our pathways to show us the way. One of the reasons so many folk right now are struggling and wrestling and toying, seemingly hopelessly. One of the reasons why now people are depressed at alarming rates and are so suicidal, and I'm not just talking about teenagers, I'm talking about older adults. One of the reasons, because we have not come to understand who Jesus really is. Because Jesus is our hope for tomorrow. Jesus is our brighter tomorrow. Jesus is a better day. Jesus keeps us going even when we want to give up. We need Jesus. He's the Savior of our soul. I don't know who this word is from today, but God told me to tell you, we need more Jesus. We need to get closer to Jesus. Church going is all right, and that's the expectation of one who believes. And I'm not saying you're not a believer today, but what I'm saying is that you need more Jesus. You need to draw closer to Jesus. You need to get nearer to him, nearer to you, oh Lord. I want to get to know you better. I want to be closer to you, Jesus. These 48 years, I've seen some things. I've seen some things. But I've never seen the kind of things that I'm seeing right now. Are you praying right now? I'm sure you, like me, we're concerned about what tomorrow's going to look like. We're concerned about our future. Well, let me tell you something about your future. You don't have to worry about your future. Because though you may not know what the future holds, you need to know him who holds the future in his hand. Our children need Jesus. God, give me the strength of voice to make this point. Our children need Jesus. Our homes need Jesus. Our families need Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Over there in the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, a man by the name of Simeon. He heard about Jesus.
His years were declining. His days were numbered on planet Earth. He said, Lord, but before you take me home, before I go on to glory, just give me opportunity to see Jesus the Christ. Let me see this baby boy whom they said was born in Bethlehem. Don't let me leave planet level without seeing Jesus. You may want to read that passage around the 25th verse of that second chapter, Luke. Because just as he so asked of God, God granted it to him. God gave him the privilege to make his way to the place where the Christ child was born. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, I'm ready to go now, Lord, because mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. I don't worry anymore because my eyes have seen the salvation. I don't have the anxiety that I once had. My eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Can I say something to you today? Can I say something to you today that you might know of but you really don't know? You know of it but you really don't know. Because if you do, you wouldn't be acting like you act. If you really knew, you know of it but you really don't know. When you die, I'm going to put it just like this. When you die, when your days are over down here on this side, there are one or two places you're going. All right. All right. You are going to heaven or you're going to hell. And what's scary is that we have a serious romance with heaven. Can I point it out for you? And you check it out the next time. We have a serious romance with heaven. Go to any funeral or homegoing service, be it in a church sanctuary, be it in a funeral home chapel, or be it at a grave site. Before the service is over, somebody gonna say he's in a better place. Go to next time now. Go to next time. She's in a better place. I don't care what kind of life she lives. She may have never dotted the door to the church. He could have cared less. But somebody gonna say he's in a better place. Everybody is not in a better place when they die. All right. All right. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help somebody here today. Huh? There's an in and an out. There's an up and a down, a wrong and a right, a left. And, are y'all praying me now? There's rain and sunshine. There's light and darkness. There's poverty and there's prosperity. There's hurt and there's hallelujahs. Just as there's a heaven, there's a hell. Everybody not going to heaven. That's right. And let me say this here too. Because God forbid that we continue doing this. I've seen this other places. Why do you bring your loved one to the church for a funeral when they didn't come to church when they were alive? We ought to cut that kind of foolishness out. They had every opportunity to come to church when they were living. And then when they die, we want to roll them in here. If they wanted to be rolled in, don't you think they would have walked in while they could or let somebody push them in while they had opportunity in a wheelchair that we are bound? We got to cut out that kind of foolishness. If you didn't go to church when you were living, you ain't got no business coming up in the church when you're dead. That's right. And you got every opportunity to receive this unspeakable gift, this indescribable gift. Why bother with the pastor and ask for the choir and get the missionaries to fix food for somebody who didn't come to church while they were living? Now, I'm going to tell you this now. If you do, I'm going to let you have it. No, okay, that's me. I ain't going to say nothing. I'm going to let you have it. Okay. I ain't been to church in 30 years, but come on, I'm going to preach the funeral. All right. So I'm going to let you do it, but you ought not do it. Because you got to understand that you have every opportunity to receive this unspeakable gift. You have every chance to accept them while the old folk, you say, while the blood is running warm in the vein. I'm preaching to you today because we need Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
We got to quit playing around with Jesus. We need more Jesus. I ask you today, have you secured your eternal address? Play softly for me, choir. If you were to die today, if God forbid something were to happen to you before you got back home today, are you absolutely sure of where you're going to spend eternity? Do you feel certain that you're going to heaven and you can live eternally in the presence of Jesus? Some of us got a mother gone. I don't know about you, but I expect to see my mother. Some of you got a father gone. I expect to see my father. The only way I'll see my mother, the only way I see my father, the only way I see my brother, the only way I'll see those whom I love who've already departed these mundane shores is that I've got to know Jesus. He has to be a part of my life. So I ask you today, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus right now. If there's any doubt in your mind of where you're going when you die, come to Jesus right now. Get it right now. Get it right now. And if you have not the courage to come forward after the benediction is over, come on back to that room back there. I'm going to wait for you. Because we need people in Jesus Christ. We need people saved. One lady's come. One of the deacons come and say, I don't want to hug her because I'm struggling with a cold. But baby, thank you so much. Thank you so much. One of the deacons come and walk with her. Is there somebody else to come? I don't know who this word was for. Simeon said, mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. I can go now and be with Jesus because I've met Jesus. Jesus is a part of my life. We would that persons be saved. I was preaching to the children in children's church. And in children's church, I said to the people, I want you to get excited about Jesus. The song says, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. I want our children to get excited about Jesus, to tell others about Jesus. And I say the reason that we want to tell our friends about Jesus is because Jesus makes a difference in our lives. Jesus is the difference in our lives. I would that you come today. Is there another one who would come? Is there another one who would come? Paul says he is the unspeakable gift, indescribable, beyond words. No language can praise him enough. We're talking about Jesus Christ, and we need to be in a fuller and more complete relationship with Jesus Christ because he is the answer. He is the answer. Some of you may know that in the 80s, I used to be on the radio, and as a radio announcer, I would close my radio broadcast 1 o'clock from 10 to 1. Started at 10 to 12 and it grew to 10 to 1 with a song by Myrna Summers which says, you don't have nothing if you don't have Jesus. I invite you to Jesus today.
This concludes the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church. In order to obtain a copy of this service in its entirety, please reference number 120819. 120819. God Unspeakable Gifts. Give us a call, 803-796-6103. That's 803-796-6103. We encourage you to visit us on the web. Take advantage of what we have available for you. You can also download the sermons. We can send them to you digitally, or you can even do a subscription here at Brooklyn. 803-796-6103 is the number to call. We want you to be encouraged with the word. Give us a call today, 803-796-6103. We want to thank each and every one of you for all your continued support. Please visit us on the web. Drop us a line. We thank you for all you do. We pray that you have a blessed and happy holiday season.